Dr. Lois Phillips is an educator, communications consultant, and keynote conference speaker. She also provides communication workshops for companies and women in leadership roles. Today, she's discussing how to think on your feet.
Think about the types of presentations that you give as a business person or a professional person, a community activist, an advocate, an agency representative, a governmental representative. Often, it isn't the formal presentation to the large group of people. It's the impromptu presentation when you have to think on your feet. And that's when you get to hear how well the speaker can think. I want to present to you a few mental maps for helping you do that effectively. It's so easy to get flustered when you're in a group situation and somebody calls on you and says, well, wait a minute, we need an update on that project. How's it going? You hadn't prepared material, you didn't bring handouts, you weren't predicting the tough questions, but you want to present yourself in a very cool, calm, and collected way. So I have 5 suggestions for how to think about your response to that question that comes at you unexpectedly. And I call these mental maps. So if you remember these categories, you will be able to think on your feet and plug into these mapping devices and answer in a very logical way that people can follow. Because often remarks are rambling, and at the end of it, people are thinking, you know, what was that about, or what did she say, or they can't quote you in the morning, and that's what you want people to do, quote you in the morning in a really good way. The first way to respond is to give a topical answer. So the topical answer is simply responding with 3 random topics that you pull out of your imagination. For example, fire, earth, and water, if we were talking about the state of climate conditions. And you can organize your response around fire, earth, and water to talk about climate change. And the acronym you might come up with is FEW, fire, F, earth, E, water, W. And this will help you remember the 3 topics that are part of your storyline. Maybe you're talking about global warming, but maybe you're also talking about taking a cruise ship through Alaska, and you want to talk about the sights you saw. And you could talk about that experience using 3 random topics, and I just gave you 3. But it could be on the cruise ship, you could be talking about the people, the food, the views. You could be talking about what you personally did for recreation, your strategy for not coming home 20 pounds heavier, whatever it is. Think of 3, not 5, not 9, not 1 or 2, but 3. People appreciate 3 and know more than 3 topics. So you can respond to a question by pulling together 3 topics. And I'm going to go over these in greater depth in a moment. Another way to respond is in terms of space. So you might talk about the mansion on the hill. And when you look at that mansion, what is it in the space surrounding that mansion? Its relationship to other houses, its size and scale, way in which it dominates the landscape. It could be the infinity pool in the backyard. It could be how different that mansion is from the smaller houses that surround it. So space, topics and space would be another way to organize information in your brain. A third way is chronology. In other words, what happened first, second, and third? Here's an example that you can relate to. Amelia Earhart was born into poverty, and I give, you know, the fact that she was born in a particular year. She was famous as an aviatrix by the age of 20, and third, she died an untimely death at 37. So I'm going to give the chronology of a person's life in terms of 3 moments in time. What happened when? What was the sequence of things in building the new city hall, or in the 3 Christmas parties we've had in the past 3 years? A fourth way to think about information is to think about the pros and the cons related to your point of view. So if someone said, how is that project coming that your team is working on? It could be for new software. You could talk about the positive progress you're making, and you could talk about the negatives in terms of the financial issues, the personnel issues, and the technology glitches. And it's just pros and cons, and you're not going to take a position. But people know, okay, so Mary presented the pros and cons as part of her update. And then finally, the fifth way to organize information is to talk about the problem and how you think we could solve the problem. So let's say you work for an organization in which there is low morale, and your team is getting together to discuss what that's about. And they may say, what's your opinion, John? And you want to give them your opinion on this. And you could give them three ways to attack this problem. We can give people merit increases. We could have a great Christmas party. We could build cross-functional teams that deepen relationships across functional areas in the company. People love to know who works here. So I would give my three solutions. So those are five ways to organize your response to a request to speak when you have to think on your feet and you haven't come very prepared. So let me give you some examples and delve into this a little more deeply. In terms of three random topics, let's say someone asked me to describe my home. I could think about how to respond in terms of the decor, the exposure, the property values. For example, my home is a modernist home. We have southern exposure, and you could say we furnished it in an eclectic style. There'll be three different ways to inform you about my home. In terms of the pros and cons, I'm going to jump shift here. In describing my house to you, I might say there are a few positives about my home. Our 1957 home is perfect for a couple like us and our dog. It's 2,400 square feet, and it's easy to maintain. There is room for entertaining guests both outside and inside, and we have a spacious deck with a wonderful ocean view. But on the downside, one of the problems is the fact that the house is over 50 years old, so there are maintenance issues that are ongoing and sometimes surprising. The roof needs to be replaced and the deck has termites. Also, our neighbors are contemplating enlarging their deck and they're going to obstruct our ocean view. So now I've told you the pros and the cons, the positives and the negatives. And you probably have a picture of my house on the mesa. If I were using spatial relationships to describe my home, I might say this. We're on a street with half-acre lots. Our particular home is at the top of a hill with a steep driveway. Our house stands out because we have a quirky entryway and trees that hide us from our neighbors' homes. Inside the public rooms, we have southern exposure, and the private rooms have morning sun. The public spaces are open and airy, and only the bedrooms and bathrooms are private spaces. Our backyard is half lawn and half orchard. So you have a picture of my house, and if someone said, tell me about your house, I could explain what my house looked like in terms of describing it spatially. And then chronologically, I could talk about my house in terms of when things happened to my house as I built it, renovated it, or redecorated it. Here's what I might say. We bought the home in 1987 and renovated it first in 1990 and then this year again. In fact, the news press, our local paper, did a two-page spread on what any family on the Mesa could do with $20,000 for a minor remodel that packs a punch. We changed the furniture around, and the furniture became more interesting and eclectic. We added modern furniture and antiques, and we did that over 10 years. In the next 5 years, we're adding a hot tub and a pool to enjoy the beautiful climate. That's what I'd say to explain how things have happened to our home on the Mesa since we bought it in 1987. If I were going to explain three problems that I've had in living in my home with my husband and how I solved those problems, here's what I would say, and I would enumerate. First, we were losing heat from the drafty windows. So this year, my husband, a green architect and a local builder who happens to be his best friend, completed a 3-year process of adding insulation and installing double glazed windows as we went through a design we came up with a few years before. The second thing we did to address some problems dealt with the outdoors. Our landscaping simply was not successful, perhaps in the damp climate because we live near the ocean. So we installed a better drip system and we planted fruit trees and we gave up totally on the idea of a vegetable garden. I do not have a green thumb. Third, Christmas was a tough time to accommodate a growing family. So to meet our needs, we installed a Murphy bed in my home office. That gave my son a place to land. So those are the ways that I would think on my feet if you asked me questions about the home I live in. And I wanted to make it very simple to give you an example with the same topic of how I would use three random topics, spatial relationships, chronology, pros and cons, and problems and solutions. And if I kept any one of these things handy, when somebody asked me to explain myself, I'd be able to respond in a very logical, cool manner, in a way that would allow them to remember what I said.
To learn more about her services as a speechwriter, coach, conference speaker, or workshop leader, visit loisphillips.com. That's loisphillips.com or womenseenandheard.com. Thanks for listening.